My wish for you this morning is, don't let anyone else dull your sparkle. Don't let anyone else dull your sparkle. You are a wonderful spiritual being. You're created in the image and likeness of the divine. A lot of words come at us. A lot of words go from us. I just want to remind you, don't let anyone else dull your sparkle. You see, when we listen within, that's our counsel. That's our advisor. If, and there's always an if in life, isn't there? If you take the time to prepare yourself within. That's why I like these seasons where we have these holidays, not because it's a holiday and sometimes we get off work and get to play or gather with family. That's not what it's about. It's about the atmosphere that's created from the community consciousness of the holiday. Everywhere you go, you hear thoughts about Lent, right? I was with a group last night. The thoughts were, well, they were on fasting, but not as the lesson I gave you last week. But that's okay. It's okay if that's the consciousness where you are in this moment. It's okay as long as you're working through from that point, taking your prayer work, taking your meditations seriously. And I say seriously because sometimes I'll just rip through, sit down 2 seconds and think I've performed a miracle. I've done all the work that's needed. Well, that may be true to some extent, but basically we know we need to get ourselves settled in, don't we? We need to get ourselves into that vibration where we're lifted up. That's the words of Jesus Christ is just so great. If I be lifted up, if I lift up my consciousness to that high frequency and then share with you, then you're going to begin to lift yours up too. And then you'll go out the door and you'll lift someone else's up. And that diffuses anything negative that someone may want to say to you. Because they're going to begin to think about your words and what you're saying to them, what you're expressing to them. So we're enriching our spiritual journey this Lent season, aren't we? Yeah, you don't have to answer. I know you are, because I see that in you. I see that progress. I see it when we speak. I see the consciousness of this spiritual community raising and lifting. And you know what? You don't have to say a word. I see it in what you do. I see it in how you embrace one another. I see it, and as this earlier song, how you love one another. You know, we always feel, well, we don't always feel now. After all that lifting up, here I go. But there are times when we do feel that our greatest accusers are outside of us, don't we? That we feel that someone else is moving our current experience. Don't let anyone else dull your sparkle. You are divinely made in that image and likeness. You know, when we let these things affect us, could it be the way that we're filtering the words that we're hearing through our physical eyes? Instead of filtering the words we hear through our inner sense of who we are, because from that point we know that they're just words, that they're what the accuser thinks, but they're not what we think. And oh, it would be so wonderful if that's the way it always worked. But what usually happens, you take those words in and you store them down in your belief system. And then when something happens, you say, oh my, I am so angry at them. Or anything else that may go through your mind. You know, if we believe that we are spiritual beings in a human experience, then the important thing is, what is that still small voice within me? What is it saying? What is it telling me? One of the things to fast from this Lent season is holding oneself hostage to all that negative garbage. You know, that's the best thing you could do to free yourself from being earthbound, from being tied to the human experiences. Charles Fillmore wrote in the book Prosperity, thoughts that most frequently work ill for you are the thoughts of criticism and condemnation. We always feel that our greatest accusers are outside of us, but guess what? You have an even greater challenge within you. If you haven't taken the time to explore and know what things you have stored in you, because you know what happens when someone says something? There's a recognition there. When you begin to recognize that and take that in and get offended in that or resist that, it's because you have a belief in you that it is so. But we know what the truth of us is. We hear it, we read it, but are we absorbing it? If we're absorbing it, one practice I do is I listen, but I don't co-sign it, you know? I just say, well, that's how you feel, or that's your experience. And in my head, that small, still voice is running around saying, oh, no, you are great. You are wonderful. You are blessed. No, that's not the truth about you. Unless, or here's that if again, unless I let it in. We accept so much that we shouldn't accept from other people. We don't have to express we're not accepting it, But we can within. I like the thing about when somebody says something, they used to say, cross it out, cross out, cross. That's our cross experience. Crossing out all that stuff that we listen to, but don't want to take in and store deep within us so that when something rears up its head, we say, oh, no, I'm hurt. We're hurt because we have a belief, and that belief is connected and tied in to whatever it is we're being fed at whatever given moment. When we can release that, when we can cross that out, when we can overcome that, that's our resurrection experience. And that's what we're moving towards when we fast and feast, or like the current book, when we release and renew. We're working towards cleansing and raising ourselves out of those thoughts of error. Charles Fillmore always said that in Christian Healing, he wrote, when we hold ourselves in guilt and criticism, the natural energies of the mind are weakened. And guess what? It affects the whole body. It affects, and why is that? When we did Metaphysics 1 or something like that, because we take it in and we hold on to it, and we wonder why we have some of the outer appearances that we have in our physical being. They're not all because of anything you're thinking, because we have the collective consciousness that moves in. What we're taught from child up moves in. But we can release that stuff. We can change that thought. Repent means to simply change your mind. We can change our minds from those thoughts and walk stayed in truth. Yes, people tell me you have those rose-colored glasses on again. But you know what? They fit just fine. Because it's none of my business what you think about me. See, that's one of those outside accusers. Inside, I know better. I know that I believe in the one power and one presence. And that filters out in your life when you believe that. Take some time to just sit and think about the magnitude of that statement. And if you say yes, it's going to change your life dramatically. It's going to change your thoughts dramatically. When you change your thoughts dramatically, what happens out here? It changes. Those accusers begin to fall off, don't they? Because they know they have no power over you anymore. You know, I used to have a lot of people coming up to my desk and, yeah. They go on and on and on about stuff. But one day, when I fell into unity and I began to work on the thought, you have no power over me. And that day, I began to think my own thoughts, which through prayer and meditation, thank God, were being cleansed. And that was the day I became free. And you can too. And you are. I see a lot of you walking in the light of that transition. And doesn't it feel good when you let your mind go back to that train of thought, to who you and what you are? Doesn't it feel good? Oh, man. And you can say, as I said earlier, this is the day that the Lord has made, and I am rejoicing and glorifying and bathing in it, because I know that no matter what these accusers are bringing to me, it's just temporary. It's going to fall off, because that's not the truth. You know, the scripture I like to always talk about when I'm talking about putting blame on ourselves and letting others put blame on us and buying into that whole concept. I liked John 8, verse 1 through 11. And guess what? I'm going to read it. Because I want you to think about it in your contemplation time. It says, Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him and sat down, and he taught them. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought him unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, Master. You notice how now they call him Master. We know that there's some trickery beginning to happen in there, huh? Because now all of a sudden they're nice and sweet. Master. This woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger, he wrote on the ground as though he didn't even hear what they said. And he wrote, and he just kept writing. So when they continued asking him, can you imagine that scene? Down there writing, and they're like, hey, get up. Where's our answer? And so, when they continued asking him, he lifted himself up and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. And after he said that again, he stooped down and began to write on the ground. And when all those around had heard it, being convicted by their own consciousness, went out one by one, beginning with the eldest unto the last. And Jesus was left alone with the woman was standing in his midst. And Jesus said, he lifted himself up when he saw none but the woman, and said unto her, woman, where are thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And she said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. You know, God is the divine energy moving throughout all and does not hold anything against us. So why do we let our inward accusers condemn us? You know, we have the power to take and mold and shape substance. We can take the divine ideal of whatever is going on in our life and bring the divine idea into manifestation instead of more of what we accuse ourselves of. You know, we are individualized expressions of God. And I love this set of passages because number one, if we break it down metaphysically, it starts out with an early in the morning experience, right? When Jesus came into the temple and all the people came and sat down. Now, people in the scriptures are their thoughts. They're just all kind of thoughts. And early, that's like dawn, right? And then the dawning light of spiritual perception in consciousness increases one's faith in the truth. It turns our attention towards the truth. So all this is happening in the dawning of that light of knowing the truth. Mount Olives, that's that high state of consciousness, and all this is from your revealing word, that high state of consciousness where wisdom and love come together. And remember, we talked about the mount being a high place, that high state of consciousness. When we rise up to that and tap into those divine ideas, wisdom, love, faith, peace, all of them, beauty. And that's where that they come together in the Mount of Olives. And the scribes, well, we know those are thoughts, like when we read a lot of stuff in the books and stuff, and when we let those other personalities, those other accusers, teach us stuff. And the Pharisee in us is that which believes in following the letter of the law. They told him in the Mosaic law, she is to be stoned to death. And adultery, those are the error thoughts, impure thoughts that tear down our state of being instead of build it up. When I think about this scripture metaphysically, it really comes together for me to know that my accusers aren't out here. They're all those thoughts that have gathered together. And I like the fact that it says, the oldest thoughts, stuff that you have held on so long that you would believe that you have never even thought about moving away from. Those old thoughts that come from years and years of being trained and taught that you are less than, drop off first. Those are the hardest ones to let go of, isn't it? But when you begin to know that you have in you that spirit that lifts up and raises you to that high state of consciousness where you can believe in your heart that there is one presence, one power, oh my, what a healing that is. That brings us to a point of being whole. And all this out here is just chatter. We no longer let it affect us. But it may not be so easy. But we begin with that old stuff that we have learned. letting it drop off, and then we work our way through to what we may have been told recently that we have taken in and filtered and examined and said, no. And why would you hold anything against yourself when Holy Spirit doesn't, when God doesn't? You are loved unconditionally. You are loved unconditionally. It's not easy letting accusers go, is it? Letting those thoughts that come at you to bar them out, to keep them out. I thought about this. A tutor was teaching his student about letting go. And so him and the student was walking along, and he said, pull up that weed. It was just a little sprout, maybe a dandelion or something of that order. And the student reached down and pulled it up easily and pitched it to the side. And they walked a little further. And there was a bigger weed that was growing into a bush. Anybody ever get volunteer trees in their yard? If you catch them before they get real big, you can just, maybe a little tugging, but you can pull them up. And then they walked a little further and they came to a tree and he said, pull that one up. And he tugged and tugged and as much as he could. And he said, I can't pull that one up. And he said, that's because that's the same thing that happens in us when we let erroneous thoughts go on too long. They grow into something that it's very hard to get rid of. That's where that parable, in that modern parable, ended. But I say to you, even if it's a tree, do the work. All things are possible in spirit. All things are possible in spirit. Even uprooting a tree. Maybe not physically, but we're talking in here, aren't we? We're talking within. Charles Fillmore said, have faith in what you do, and after it's done, do not condemn yourself. If you're convicted and you did this and you cleansed yourself, don't hold on to it. Don't let it keep festering. Don't let it grow into that big tree trunk. You know, the past is past. That moment is past. And what you do going forward is what counts. What you do going forward is what counts. If you keep thinking the accusers are out here buying into what other people are telling you, take the time now to repent, which is change your mind, change that thought around, and move forward. And oh my, you'll begin to experience the joy that passeth all understanding, the peace that passeth all unconditional love. And as the song that Deborah sang, that's my wish for you, that you experience the dawning of a new morning in your hearts. So let's take time to prepare ourselves for that. Let's set ourselves on the right track. Take a deep breath in, and let's begin by affirming together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And so breathe in and rest in this moment right here, right now. I'm going to give you a few more things to fast and feast on as we enter into this time of prayer and meditation. So this week, I fast from apparent darkness. There is only the light of the world illuminating everything. And I feast on the reality of that light. Breathing in and moving down this pathway. I fast from thoughts of illness. I feast on the healing power of God within. I am whole. I am well. When I let go of those accusing thoughts that say, I'm not, I turn the feast on the healing power of God. And I fast from words that pollute, words from others. I do not let them penetrate my inner sanctuary. I do not let words from others penetrate my inner sanctuary. I fast from words that pollute. And I feast on phrases and words that purify my being. And as I continue this inward journey, I'm moving deep into the recesses of my heart where I come to that chamber where I step away from the outside world. And I know that in this chamber, it's like a cocoon. I am well. I am peaceful. I bathe in the love that's a pure, unadulterated love. And I take a moment in the quiet and soak in the words of the still small voice within my heart, right here, right now. And I know the same vibrations that I am feeling right here, right now, the vibrations of a vibrant life that is continually moving within me. And as I experience that, I know that's a gift I can take with me as I move from this point of connection in mind and take all that with me as I step back into the outer world, knowing one presence, one power in the universe, knowing that I have been resurrected to a point where I know that my mind and my body and my spirit are one. And this is accomplished by my realization that God is spirit and I am made in that likeness and image. Breathing in and breathing out, I step back into this moment right here, right now, knowing that I have been lifted to that high frequency where I know I am one with the universe. So for this and all things, dear God, we just give you thanks this morning. We thank you for knowing that your activity is what moves us. And we release any thoughts that have been generated by an outside world and make the commitment from this day forward to listen to the inside world. So for this and all things, we just say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And it is so. And so it is. Amen. And I just want to remind you one more time. Don't let anyone else dull your sparkle. In fact, I want to hear you say it. I will not let anyone else dull my sparkle. That's my wish for you. Go forth this day and bring it into manifestation. Bless you.
You.